And now we move on to item 12. I've got 6 questions in total. I call on Councillor James Bond to ask his question of Councillor David Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The government has set up a review into the Freedom of Information Act. What is the council's view on this matter? And will you publish the council's submission in response to the consultation that just closed at the end of November?
Thank you, Councillor Bond. We are also pleased that freedom of information is being reviewed and looked at again. The Council did not respond to the consultation on the future developments within the Freedom of Information Act. We do, however, look forward to hearing the outcomes of the exercise and the Government's proposals.
Do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
I do, Mr. Mayor. I'm quite surprised, but I'll leave that aside for a moment. In the last 4 years, Freedom of Information Act has been used on 13 occasions by councillors, past and present, which suggests there's a problem getting information from the very authority you're elected to.
That's right. That's correct.
I would like to ask Councillor Perry if he would get his retaliation in first. This is what I mean by that, and that is to write to the 3 Harrow members of Parliament to strongly oppose any charges for freedom of information requests, any watering down of the Freedom of Information Act, or anything that will undermine people's right to know, to find out. I really would like you to do that on behalf of everybody in this room, cross-party. It affects Conservatives, Labour members, Liberal Democrats, Independents, you name it. It affects everybody. It affects the man and woman in the street. Will you write to the 3 members of Parliament to make this council's view that we oppose any changes to the Freedom of Information Act that may be happening in the months ahead?
Thank you, Councillor Bond. I'm happy to write to local MPs. As you've said, as I've already said, I'm keen to hear what's being brought forward. I think we've seen in our own council the huge demands on which this opportunity gives and the resource we have to put into it. On occasion, we've seen vexatious FOI requests coming in, and I think what I would like to see is what changes come forward which safeguard councils from over bureaucratic and burdensome responses, but also protect the principle that individuals who may not be in a position of authority have the opportunity to see information by which their elected representatives make decisions upon. And locally, you have demonstrated your commitment by using that process and standing up for your residents. And of course, my door is always open to you should you have any requests. And happy to even share my letter with you that I'm about to write or follow your request to local MPs, given the response I've just had. So a balancing act between the two.
Thank you. I call on Councillor Barry McLeod-Skynan to ask his question to Councillor Glenn Herndon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Portfolio holder, do you think that the Housing Revenue Account business plan has the appropriate time horizon?
Mr. Mayor, I'm thrilled to get a question at full council given the housing crisis. It's been a long time coming though, but I know that the opposition has been busy on other issues over the last year, so have not had the time to be involved with anything to do with our residents that are facing homelessness, other than to vote against the supply of 100 extra homes at the last full council. So I eagerly went to the question thinking it would be about the forced sale of our much needed properties or the problem of the future supply of affordable rental housing. But no, it's about the length of the HRA business plan. In simple terms, the HRA is the housing revenue account where the income generated by our housing sits and is spent from. Running behind the HRA is a 30-year business plan. We're in the 4th year of that 30-year plan. The answer in broad terms is yes, currently a 30-year plan works, but we are yet to learn the full cost of the housing bill, the welfare bill, both of which will affect the income into the HRA. So we will continue to monitor the long-term viability of the HRA. We may need to look again at the long-term planning of the HRA business plan, currently with another 26 years to run. But one thing is certainly true, and that's the fact that families we are forced to house in bed and breakfast accommodation are not afforded the luxury of planning for the next 26 years. They're not given the opportunity to plan for the next 26 months or even 26 days. They might just be able to plan for the next 26 hours. But that's the current extent of their planning for the future. They would be more interested in you, one of the elected representatives, asking a question that directly affects their own opportunity to secure an affordable, decent place for their family to live.
Do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Portfolio holder, back in 2012, a scrutiny review on the self-financing of the housing revenue account made a number of observations, including that, quote, the 30-year housing business plan and 50-year housing moratorium did not provide sufficient contingencies against further regime changes, unquote, and that, quote, the administration's 50-year approach puts Harrow at significant financial and organisational risk from national policy changes, unquote, which you seem to have confirmed in your answer. All of these concerns were ignored. Do you share my concern and disappointment, given the problems now being experienced by the HRA, which you just alluded to just now, which relate directly to the length and importance of the business plan, that at the time these concerns were not taken on board?
Yeah, it's what I was indicating a bit in what I was saying there. It's a question that I regularly get asked by our residents that are struggling to find housing. It's that sort of question. They're always asking me this in the emails and everything else. And I'm sure other colleagues will understand it.
Yeah,
they're
yes.
Always get asked about the 2012 agreement with the HRA.
Constantly.
So it's a relevant question, which is my point earlier. Why don't you ask a question about the people we have in B&Bs? Why don't you ask questions? And why don't you look at yourselves for voting against the supply of 100 affordable homes? I've had to stand here and listen to members over there go on and on about how great it was to have social housing when they most needed it. Yet, you support a party that won't offer that to our own residents now.
Right. Now I call on Councillor Susan Hall to ask a question of Councillor Graham Henson.
Well, let's hope that Councillor Graham Henson can actually answer this as opposed to something completely different. Can you confirm what impact the new option of a seasonal charge for garden waste collection will have on the relevant staffing levels and workloads?
Like any major business, way we run it, staffing levels for the charge for garden waste service will be determined based on residents taken with the scheme, and that also accounts for the number of vehicles.
Do you have a supplementary?
Yes, I do, thank you. So, are you going to put off are you going to have temporary staff so that you just have them for 6 months, just so that they're just in the swing of things and getting things proper, and then you get rid of them? Or are you going to keep them to be doing other things in that time? And the same thing goes for the actual transportation. Are we going to be paying for lorries sat there for 6 months doing nothing? So what's with that thought? I mean, what's going to happen those other 6 months?
The reason I'm speechless, I can't believe we had to ask the question, is about the take up of the scheme. Is to determine the number of staffing levels we need. I don't know if you remember, back in 2012, we agreed staffing arrangements with all the staff across the council that allowed for flexible working, and it allowed for flat rate overtime on Monday to Saturday, and also a reduced rate on a Sunday, which it was previously. But also, when you look into it, we have to look at all flexible working options, and the staff are the ones who are suggesting a number of these things. And also around the leasing of vehicles, whether we purchase our own vehicles and want to lease them, that's a contract we rent into once we know how many vehicles we need. But at the moment we don't know, but once we do, Councillor Hall, the thing is, you seem to talk a lot about environment. What I've come to the view of is you don't have a clue about environmental issues.
Right. I call on Councillor Susan Hall to ask the second question of Councillor Graham Henson.
Oh, goodness. Let's see if you know the answer. I've never heard so much twaddle in my life. In light of the well-published concerns of community organisations, do you have plans to amend or alter the consultation on the proposed events policy?
Deja vu, really. It was a similar sort of question was asked at Cabinet. And as I advised you at Cabinet, as well, as it currently stands, there is no defined approach for anyone who would like to run an event that impacts on the public realm, whether it is publicly managed streets, parks or open spaces. Indeed, many events are currently organised through informal relationships with council officers, and in many instances, it is not explicitly stated what will be expected of promoters and organisers of events when operating in Harrow, or how the council reaches a view on whether an event is practical or appropriate. Continuing to hold events in the borough in this manner without a policy would mean that there would continue to be a lack of clarity and limited understanding of what events are permitted within the borough, the charges for these, and the responsibilities of all those involved. I believe, and everyone else believes, that it is supportive of having a formal process when organising events on public-owned land that takes into account the scale, content and impact of each event. The policy is out for consultation, which finishes at the end of December. I am pleased that organisations are responding very positively as to how the policy can be developed to meet the requirements of residents, community groups and the council. The findings from the consultation, together with any revisions to the policy, will be presented to Cabinet in the new year. To repeat the assurance that I gave to you at the Cabinet meeting, and also to the Scrutiny Committee, all responses will be considered for response and subsequent recommendations being presented to Cabinet for decision, which will clearly set out a fair and open approach that will be applicable for events that impact on the public realm.
Do you have any supplementary questions?
Yes, of course, Mr. Mayor, thank you. The only mention in consultation of any form of event remaining free is those which financially or otherwise benefit the parks. Now, I completely understand the logic of charging for certain events, but surely your reluctance to rule out charging for Remembrance Sunday will only lead people to believe that that is still on the table. So will you today assure everybody that we will be carrying on Remembrance Sunday events in this borough, free of charge, to honour those who have fought to the death for us?
Repetition again, but you come up with the same questions.
Well, we also support Remembrance Sunday.
We also support a number of events in the borough. But what needs to be clearly recognised, there is a cost to holding all these events, and the money has to come from somewhere. What we're doing out to consultation at the moment, when events are organised, is that it's depending on which officer is organising it or which officer is contacted and different things are happening. It's about having a cohesive approach to the way events are held within the borough. I can't be much clearer than that, really. We are looking at what can be an exception to the policy, which I also told you at Cabinet the other week. I hope you wasn't listening again. But the thing is, there will be exceptions and there will be concessions arrangements in place. But what we need is an actual events policy in place that people can understand and know how to approach the council to organise events rather than who people know.
Right, now I call on Councillor Barry McLaughlin to ask his question of Councillor Kieran Ramchandani.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I'm shocked that the portfolio holder has just spoken and refuses to rule out charging for Remembrance Sunday parade.
Mr. Mayor, point of order, you're talking nonsense because I did say there was a number of exclusions we will be taking. And there's that consultation.
Yes or no.
So he's just talking nonsense and winding people up
just
like normal.
Yes or no. Anyway, moving on. Councillor Ramchandani. What sort of outcome-focused actions would you like to see put in place to address the issues in the Equality in Employment Action Plan, specifically in relation to improving the recruitment of women and VME candidates in senior positions?
Firstly, I'd like to thank Councillor McLeod Cullinane for asking this question and raising this topic here this evening. Those of you who know me well will know that this is an issue that I take very seriously. And in my opinion, all organisations, including Harrow Council, need to do more to reflect the diversity of our communities and our workforce, in particular improving the recruitment of women, BAME and indeed disabled candidates into senior positions. It's important that we attract the very best people from the widest talent pool. And we are succeeding in some areas in Harrow. Over half of our top 5% of earners are women. Unfortunately, we face the same issues as all local councils, and part of the problem is that local government is generally seen as a less attractive place to work for everyone after 5 years of harsh government cuts. This means that there are fewer jobs, and those jobs that are available can be less stable and less secure. However, we are about to start some workforce planning here, which will make a difference. And there are some specific actions that I would like to introduce and I'm currently speaking to HR officers about. These include mentoring and coaching so that we can focus on growing our own, working with our recruitment agencies to instruct them to provide a wider pool of diverse candidates, and to promote the council as an employer of choice through our recruitment advertising. And it's also important that from a political perspective, we're representative of our communities. And I'm pleased to see that across the chamber, we seem to be doing pretty well with our backbench representation. However, it appears that only on this side does that extend to cabinet representation as well. Maybe the councillor would like to talk to his own leader and encourage her to appoint more women, for example, to her shadow cabinet.
That's incorrect.
Do you wish to ask a supplementary question?
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor. I attended the last ACF meeting and employees consultative meeting, forum meeting, and a paper was taken showing sort of breakdown, meaning quite a range of a wider breadth of at the lower ranks in the council of sort of different applicants, candidates and appointees being successful through that process. But as you looked up in the higher ranks, there seemed to be a narrowing of sort of the range of candidates at both the sort of the candidate level, the applicant, and sort of the appointee position. Do you think then that there's enough done in the recent recruitment to the chief executive role and other senior roles in the council last year in terms of attracting and supporting, as you mentioned in your first answer, applications for women, PME, and segregated applicants?
Well, there's a surprise. I thought you were bringing up this issue tonight because you believe of its importance, but no, yet again you bring up the same old point about the chief executive. I'm not surprised. Not surprised, but I'm disappointed, Barry. I'm disappointed. As I earlier said, we have still got more to do, and I outlined a number of specific actions that I'd like to take with our recruitment processes, and particularly with growing our own staff. But I do believe that a robust process was held for the recruitment of the chief executive. And I would ask you, please, just stop your obsession. Just enough.
Okay, I call on Councillor Susan Hall to ask the question of Councillor Keith Ferry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What discussions is the council having with the companies and organisations which could face closure or relocation as a result of the planned Civic Centre move and Wealdstone regeneration?
Thank you, Susan. We have made a decision to relocate the Civic Centre to the Beale House car park in Wealdstone. The redevelopment car park site will include a new public car park. The requirements of local companies and organisations will be taken into account in the design of these new facilities. This major regeneration initiative will provide direct and indirect economic benefits to Wealdstone District Centre on a large scale, in addition to wider social and environmental benefits. The Council is investigating land assembly options which offer the potential to increase the regeneration benefits of the new Civic Centre development. These are confidential discussions relating to potential property purchases by private treaty. It would not be appropriate to provide further details in a public forum. However, it is already a matter of public record that this includes discussions with the owners of Premier House, as well as the long leaseholder of the Premier Banqueting Suite. In addition, the Council has held initial discussions with the 20 organisations within the Wealdstone Centre, which is currently leased to the Council, as they will be directly affected by any future purchase or Premier House, should that proceed.
Do you wish to ask a supplementary?
Yes, thank you. At our group's briefing on the Wealdstone regeneration, we were told repeatedly by the officers that they are not expecting any significant increase in footfall in Wealdstone after the work is completed. So that's the office is telling us that. Surely this is an admission that doubts remain about whether the regeneration will have a positive impact on the area at all, and would you therefore agree businesses have a right to be concerned about the plans?
Well, since I don't get invited to your briefings, unfortunately, I can't confirm what was, said by the officers or not. I certainly don't agree it won't increase the footfall.
Your officers said?
Well, I'm sure they were talking about something else, because one of the reasons that we are looking at Premier House is to look at the opportunity of assembling a large area where we can put the Civic Centre onto Wealdstone High Street and provide a much greater focus. We're also looking at other properties in the area to make sure that our redevelopment of Wealdstone brings a far larger economic benefit to Wealdstone than it has at the moment.
Thank you. Now, there are two...